Hello and welcome again to the Versus Flintstones podcast. I'm your host, Dan, Rockstation Video Games, and with me is Bob.
Hey guys.
From Gigaboots, also Rockstation, we're not related. KZ Roxcellent from KZRoxcellent.com.
I dislike my wife.
Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Stone. And Dr. Gold Brick Aggro.
I'm going to keep it real, Chief. After that ingredient list, I think I'd eat schlump.
Oh. Don't forget to yabba dabba do leave a comment and give us a gay old subscribe. We're here to compare the two juggernauts of sitcom television from the late 50s/60s. That's right. We're here to compare the Honeymooners and the Flintstones yet again.
Yep. Just like every week,
definitely.
Right? Definitely. This is like our eighth time. You'd think we'd get bored.
No. There are 39 Honeymooners episodes. We will ride those out. And when we run out of those and have 120 plus more episodes of the Flintstones, we'll just loop. We'll just
yes.
loop forever.
The Flintstones versus GT podcast.
There's only 39 episodes of the Honeymooners?
Yes.
Right?
The Honeymooners is the product of a bunch of people seeing it over the course of, I think, what, 11 months and going
11
that
this what? This has to define all television sitcoms for 70 years.
That was the greatest piece of media ever made.
Not everybody had a TV when they played it the first time,
so they had to trust them.
Every time families would get TVs, they'd see it for the first time. It was this constant rolling cultural epiphany.
See, normally when you have a constant rolling cultural thing, it deadens the effect, you know, it numbs it a little bit. Normally you need the monoculture thing of it happened and we were all there, that has been a lot of American culture for a while, for it to work out. But in this case, it just kept being that cool thing. People are like, it's the best thing ever made.
It's so funny when he says he's gonna beat his wife.
Implied spousal abuse is a timeless American pastime.
Yes, it is.
He's just sadly. Like me for real?
I do that.
I have an important question.
Shoot.
Not to give too much away, but when you chose these episodes, were you aware they were structured identically?
I'm going to be honest. I chose these episodes exclusively based on what is the best rated episode that isn't a holiday special, which knocked out the top four Flintstones episodes. I chose them based on IMDb rating. As it turns out, the other Flintstones episodes we passed up were two Halloween specials, one Christmas special, and a, hey, oh my God, it's the celebrity that's been dead for decades. Let's all watch as they perform a musical act in the Flintstones for minutes straight. And you can see why I thought maybe that would fall flat. So here we are.
I cannot imagine that this is actually the best Flintstones episode,
I
or
know.
Even in the top 10.
I know. To put this into a frame of reference for the people here, obviously, the people listening have not listened to either or watched either episode yet, so they have no idea. The Flintstones episode we watched was The X-Ray Story, and the Honeymooners episode we watched was Better Living Through TV. Flintstones comes in at 25 minutes. Honeymooners comes in at 30. The rating of The X-Ray Story, the fifth highest rated Flintstones episode based on IMDb, is 7.8. The Honeymooners episode, being the highest rated Honeymooners episode, is 8.9. That is peak media.
It is.
Television gold.
Peak fiction has arrived 50 years ago.
Like, rated by the kind of people who are upvoting Flintstones and Honeymooners episodes on IMDb.
I know! What a fantastic system.
Half the people who voted on this are not alive anymore.
They made it just barely to the creation of IMDb.
Yes, they made it there and did it at their local library.
And then when they clicked the left click, they crossed their arms and turned to dust. So, obviously, I think we lead with the Honeymooners. For people who are truly unaware of the crux of this podcast, the Honeymooners is such a perfect, immaculate super show that the production company that made it was very close to suing the hell out of the Flintstones because it ripped it off.
It is the moment the sidekick character talks. It's like, wow.
Both, you're just Barney.
Yeah, both of them are basically Fred and Barney. Just
I like, know. The same performance. Started, the second that show started with that, I went, oh, no, I finally understand.
This is why we're doing this. Oh, God. Yeah,
that was directly the bit.
Yeah, it's like wow. The guys run scams and hate their wives. That's every single episode of the Flintstones.
I mean, the dude basically comes through the door and immediately goes, "Hey, Barn." It's just like so much to deal with. It's really quite impressive. But yeah, the guy to make it even more perfect for people, the guy who plays the main character is the person who created the show, credited as created by for the Honeymooners, and has the production company who made the show.
Yep, that sounds about right.
So imagine the gall you have over at Hanna-Barbera to rip off a show and the likeness of the main character of said show, which is the owner of the production company. Like, no crap he was thinking about suing.
He's like, that's all me.
I'm like, wow, Project Aco, but live action in the U.S. 30 years sooner.
The future's been stolen, Dan. That man could be on Fruity Pebbles right now.
And Jackie Gleason's Fruity Pebbles. I eat them in between cigarettes.
The only reason Jackie Gleason didn't sue is like, the Flintstones is really popular. It would be give me negative publicity to rip it off the air.
Yeah, no. He literally only stopped because somebody told him, you don't want to be known as the guy who took the Flintstones off of the air.
Yeah.
But imagine what Flintstones would have instead.
Now this is funny.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, the Honeymooners was partly the inspiration for Kenan and Kel.
Yes!
That checks out. That absolutely 100%, checks out.
Holy shit.
Yeah, thinking about it, it's like you have the fat one who wants to always run scams, and you have the skinny one who's a dipshit.
Yep.
Yeah, Cal is the definitive Barney. He loves
you've
orange
described
soda.
American comedy. That's how we've been doing all, it.
For the 70 years of comedy, all from this fucking show.
All for one that flamed out in 11 months.
Actually did exceedingly well. I don't know why it didn't get renewed. That seems very bizarre.
You can go back before this to find that format. I mean, this is just Abbott and Costello.
I mean, it's true, but now we have created the sitcom, cornerstone of America.
Yeah.
One of the most impressive things.
You're aggro dying.
One of the impressive things about this is that when you go and look up information about the Flintstones, they're like, yeah, they were really disappointed because Tom and Jerry had both like kid and adult appeal in theaters and stuff, but they couldn't figure out how to get that again because they tried, what was it, Huckleberry Hound and one other piece of shit.
Oh my God.
And it only appealed to kids. So they're like, how do we appeal to both? I know. Steal it.
Yeah, I was like, what else besides Huckleberry Hound? Top Cat?
No, Top Cat's way better.
Yeah, Top Cat is way droopy. Maybe
let me check real quick here. Huckle, the Quick Draw McGraw Show.
Yeah,
like, hell
did
yeah.
Think that
oh,
would work.
God. So there we go. yeah, no, it's really impressive. I guess it worked. The Flintstones went on to have 170 episodes or something, and Jackie Gleason sat in his cuck shed and dealt with it. I guess
something that. Like you brought up during us watching it was, Flintstones is like a cartoon that's for kids and adults, and I didn't really perceive that until we watched this episode. I was like, okay, yeah, I do totally see that this is very much geared towards adults.
Yeah.
Like all of them are adults, and they are talking about situations that only an adult would really experience. A kid wouldn't. Freak out this much out about having to stay awake.
No, it's cool because a kid wouldn't freak out about staying awake, but they also wouldn't understand taking a pet to the vet. I love so many layers of like, hey, Dino's dying. And he's like, yeah, I'm dying. I'm under a fucking boulder. Come here and drive Gino to the vet. And he's like, okay. And then they do the weird bit, which I will never understand of, so I drove my boss's car?
That, I thought that would come up again.
Right?
It just seemed like they wanted to do a car joke, but now I'm like, did bosses used to be human beings? I don't...
Yeah, maybe.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's like his boss gave him time off and let him borrow his car.
Because the loved one who wasn't even a human was dying? I'm so fucking confused.
He's like, I never would have made it home in my car. I'm like, why not?
Because they're brontosaur alligators everywhere.
I mean, his boss's car seems actually motorized instead of like having to run on it.
Well, that's the thing about Flintstones, though. You only need to run for a bit, and then it just goes.
Oh.
Yeah, once you get it up to speed.
Yeah, because they don't want to animate running the whole time.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, you watch that episode, and it's clear they don't want to animate much. But here, we got to get the honeymooners out of the way real quick.
This fucking episode opens on the ugliest wallpaper I have ever seen in my life.
Real quick, I'm going to ask the audience who has not seen either of these episodes to just imagine, okay? Do a thought experiment. Imagine we're just describing a Flintstones episode. You'll be shocked how well it goes.
Yeah, replace all the names right now.
I'm not even going to say the characters' names because it's like, we're just going to remember them as...
Fred.
The Fred, the Barney, the Wilma. We didn't even get to see Betty.
Oh, we didn't.
No, she was downstairs. We will never know what Betty was like.
She was there in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. We
it
saw
was
both
Alice
of them.
That came back up later.
Yeah.
Oh, the black and white's fucking with me.
Yeah, we saw both of them, but very little interaction with one of them.
I say the black and white's fucking with me, and now I look up a photo. I'm like, never mind. They should
The 50s housewife is fucking with you.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm finding out looking up these images. Holy
Model Christ. 647 and 648.
Please come out, and it's time to film the pilot. So imagine this is a Flintstones episode. So, Fred comes in. I guess we should open with the actual thing. That was the Betty surrogate in the opening, I'm hearing. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
The one that gets the one that shoot out of the room.
Man, that really changes that dynamic. So she's having Barney wear a dress to help her do some adjustments to it and stuff. He's smoking a cigar because he says it's the only way he can keep in touch with the old him. The audience laughs and claps. Eventually, she leaves the room to go get a thing, and that's when Fred comes in, and he says something to her, assuming it's, you know, Barney's wife, Betty. And then,
hey Betty, where's Barn?
And then Betty he does the worst impersonation of a female I've ever heard.
Yeah, I love chewy cookies.
Why does it always go back to chewy cookies?
Because it's an immaculate super impression. And then it's fantastic as he eventually goes, well, I'm tired of wearing this dress, and then he threatens to beat his wife so she
let's fucking go.
God,
that was okay back then.
No, it wasn't.
It's like, well, I guess he doesn't really beat her. I guess he can have that.
He just says it.
Look, you can't show that kind of intimacy between a husband and wife on TV in the 50s.
Oh, okay, so that's why.
They have to sleep in separate beds, and he can't actually connect with his fist.
You can try, though.
Back then, they had to follow the rule of thumb. No sticks thicker than their thumb.
So she's like, someday you'll need a favor from me, and I won't help you. And he goes, you could do me a favor right now. You can leave. And then the audience claps and loses their minds because marriage is a horrible, horrible institution.
Bing my jokes. I hate my wife.
She leaves, and then Fred goes, hey, Barn, I got us a brand new plan. And then Barn goes, I can't afford to get rich. All the money I keep losing on your good plans. And then Fred goes, this one's bulletproof. I know a guy who owns a warehouse. And he's got, how many is it? Does anyone
remember? 2,000.
Yeah.
2,000 of these? Wonder Majigs.
Mm-hmm.
I actually took a note of the exact name this nightmare device has, which made me crack up real hard.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I've got it written down, too.
The Helpful Housewife Happy Handy.
That's been racy for 50s tired. Television.
I was tired enough while watching this that I'm like, no, I just heard that wrong. They definitely are calling it a handy.
So basically, this device is an all-in-one miracle device that could do all sorts of things. It can core an apple. It can open a can. It can sharpen a knife. It can deal with corns on your feet. And this dude, it has a warehouse with 2,000 of these. And if they just make, if they find some way to sell them, that guy will just let them have it if they pay the rent for that warehouse, which is like $200 or something. So, thus the plot of the episode is, we're going to make a TV ad after we spent almost half of this episode haranguing our wives for money.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It's even, you know, honestly, as it was happening, I was like, okay, all right. All right. And audience, what you need to realize is this show has a multi-camera setup, but it is live the way it is made. There are four scenes in this entire episode. It is uncut from end to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was one of the early TV sitcoms.
Exactly.
So the format hadn't developed much from live shows and stage plays.
Exactly.
Are you sure it isn't three?
It might be three. Let's go through them, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is three. So one is everything we've described until now.
Yeah, that's inside Barney's house.
Fred is haranguing his wife. Oh, I thought it was Fred's house, and they were just there for no reason.
No. Then they go back to Fred's house for the next scene.
My God. sitcom houses really...
I assume it's an apartment, and they're just in different floors.
Yeah,
That's the way I'm getting.
That's the idea.
Yeah, it's an apartment building.
So... Scene one is everything we described up to Fred haranguing Betty. Sorry, Wilma. Scene two is nothing but that. And it keeps going. And it keeps going.
Yeah, the conclusion to the scene is insane.
Where she's like, no, you cannot have this money. And he's like,
jump cut.
He's like, okay. And he could barely get it out. And then it fades to black. And then we fade back in, and now we're doing the commercial. It is never explained where the money came from. He said he would borrow it.
He's got the money somehow.
He also said he was going to leave her because she didn't love him, and she married him because she fell in love with the suit, with the uniform, because he's a cop.
He's a bus
driver.
No,
he's not.
Oh, he's a bus driver. Oh, my God, that's embarrassing.
What a good fucking show.
There was some lines in the endless bickering that I quite enjoyed. Like, imagine how long it would take somebody to sell these door to door. And the wife says, take him one house if you answered the door.
Yes, exactly. No, it's really good. There actually are a number of good lines all throughout this episode of The Honeymooners.
I love that they just know Fred is just, all of his ideas are bad. Yes. No one buys it at all.
Not even a little.
Right? And yet they
remember
go along
when you bought
anyway.
That parking lot and then they built a drive through next to it.
Yeah, it was like, remember when you bought that parking lot next to the theater and you said people will need somewhere to park? And he's like, I didn't know it was a drive-in theater. God.
I have to wonder if we go back to episode one.
Uh-huh.
If they already have this tone, or is that something they develop over the arc of the show? Because that'd be really funny.
Already have it. This has got to be a stock character thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think The Honeymooners was like an extension of like skits that were on a Jackie Gleason's variety show or something.
Yeah, that seems incredibly likely.
And I think it became that again after The Honeymooners like ended. So there you can like buy DVDs of the skits they made after.
Weird. Huh. Yeah, so they get to the rehearsal. They're like, we need to rehearse the commercial. Because for people who don't know, the commercials are live. They're going to do this live. So they need to perform their lines perfectly. So they're on set. They're trying to go through the steps. Basically, Barnes sits there, stares into the camera, and he goes, oh, modern cooking is so complicated. And if you think my voice is extremely far removed, I encourage you to watch this episode anyway.
Right?
It's so complicated.
Art Carney sounds like a guy doing an Art Carney impression. Is the only way I can describe it.
Yeah, that is how it sounds.
I got kids over here, apples over there. What do I do? I'm grabbing my nuts. And then Fred just walks in and he's just like, hello there, puny chef. And then, you know, Barney just goes, who are you? And he goes, I'm the chef of the future.
He's we get like, a scene oh, okay. that's just like the exact same joke over and over again for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yes. You're not wrong. There's a little bit of variety. There's a little bit of like, it works to do this thing, and then he moves the device too fast, and a part of it goes flying off. And part of me is like, honestly, that looks so unintentional. Was that a mistake they did last?
That was definitely, yeah, they just ad-libbed through that.
Yeah. Because there's just a total shift in that exact moment of like, these other things went kind of well, and then part of it came off, and then they don't say anything, and the audience is losing it, and there's no good camera angle of where it landed.
Yeah, and you can see like the old school stage actor in them, where they keep going, they don't break character, they ad-lib through it, which is, it's a little weird, because unlike a lot of shows at the time, and unlike the commercial they're doing in this episode, which is live, this is one of the first shows they pre-taped in front of a live audience.
Ooh.
And then played off the tape, which is, it's weird that they didn't edit around that. They just kept going.
Yeah, they were like, whatever, this is golden. Why would we change this?
That's why it's got the 8.9, guys.
That is definitely why. You've nailed it.
Was made a joke about being a harpoon gun. It's very funny.
So then we do the coring the apple bit, and he's like, okay, now don't actually core the apple during rehearsal. You'll need to do that live. And he goes, oh, okay. I'm coring an apple. And he's like, now watch this. Da-da-da-da. Oh, it's so easy. And then right as they finish that, that's when somebody comes up, one of the production members, and they're just like, hey, the show that's airing right now is going to commercial break. You're the third commercial. You need to get off the stage because we're going to do this. And Fred, who had been trying to warn Barney that, you know, stage fright's a thing and rehearsal's important because he's a weak-minded simpleton. He's going to get scared when we go live. Starts pissing and shitting his pants. Barney's like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. All right. There are going to be millions of people watching, and they're all going to be looking at us and judging us. Let's do this. We got this. And then they go live. The entire rest of the episode is just Fred shitting his pants and the device not working. I think I've brutally summarized.
And you haven't. Right.
That's all it is. Like, I can't even remember how many variations of this they do, because they do it like four times.
I keep waiting for like a resolution.
No.
But yeah, there's no resolution. It just stops.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
They're like, we're out of tape. Bye.
I think Barney yells something about how much he lost money again.
There's a couple good moments in there where, but yeah, I could describe the bits real quick. It's supposed to be a can opener. And, you know, Barney is just like, oh, can opener. Very, very helpful. Go ahead and show that. And he starts to just stab the can over and over. And it's like, this is so embarrassing. They get to the corn apple bit. But he's like, how about you, the puny chef of the past, core that apple, and then I will show you how we do it in the future. And Barn is just like, he just tears out that core immediately. It's fucking knife in it, boom, 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 done. And he pops it out, and he's like, okay, done. And Fred just shits his pants, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna do it now. He shoves the device in and just rips the apple in half. And aside from that, I don't remember anything else.
I remember Fred made some good faces.
Oh, yeah, no.
There were lots of, like, horror.
Oh, yeah, no, him, right. The faces Jackie Gleason makes while crapping his yeah. pants.
And injuring
but
himself.
But it's Jackie Gleason mugging. It's what he does best.
Yes. It was fantastic. It, one might say his faces are good enough that some animator somewhere went, we could draw this and make money.
What if we made him a caveman?
Who would do that? Jesus.
What a no, weird
no,
concept.
No one would ever do that.
Yeah, and as we already said, the episode just ends, guys. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but we promise it just ends.
It just ends like it's an Adult Swim show that just ran out of energy.
Yeah, the only difference was we didn't have like the outro immediately kick in with "We Are the Aqua Teens." Yeah. So the entire thing falls apart. Everything sucks. Barney just. Oh yeah, we can't leave out this joke. As Barney realizes, literally, this is the worst ad ever aired on television. No one's gonna buy these things. He yells at his wife not to bring it up when he comes home, or he'll hit her. That's the end of the episode.
Fucked up again, eh?
Not liable.
Oh my god.
Man, that Flintstones episode was weird.
I don't know. That seemed pretty normal, honestly.
If anything, it's too normal. And that's the Honeymooners. We're going to move on to the Flintstones, which is a different show for people who don't know. It's animated. You may have heard of it.
That's the only difference.
It has, weirdly enough, the cast is named identically.
Very strange.
It also has Fred.
And the main difference is they live in separate houses. They're not in the one apartment.
That's true. Well, that's because the Flintstones is a fantasy.
Where your boss lets you borrow your car.
Yeah.
It's a bit jarring if you've watch any Flintstones content in the past 10 years where, because in this, Barney doesn't sound entirely wrong.
Yes. I think that may have, I always get confused which one's the original voice and which one's the new voice Mel Blanc had to do because the original voice was too hard on him. Can't remember. Always hard to keep track of. But yeah, as I mentioned before, this is the X-Ray Story, a fantastic episode about how Fred goes to work, and Dino's not feeling well. We start with Dino being the correct color in the episode, but never in the intro.
That's a different dinosaur, I'm sorry.
That one died.
Yes.
As Bob,
that is the going theory.
As Bob points out, they have a saber-toothed tiger. They are feeding Dino Schlump, which is his favorite, which has bits of saber-toothed tiger in it.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, man.
Yeah. Dino makes some really incredibly good faces, like,
oh, no.
Look,
this.
He took pictures, yes!
Nice.
And this.
Yes! Dino melting is really good. It is really good. Some of the best animation work in the episode, honestly, right there, during that scene. And they recycle it, but it's still really well drawn. So Fred Flintstone, voiced by Jackie Gleason impersonator, comes out. Wilma, he's already at work when this happens. Wilma and Betty talk about the fact that Dino won't eat a schlump, and they're like, "What's schlump?" And then they read the ingredients, and Betty's like, "Ooh, I wouldn't eat that. How about this, Dino? I won't eat your schlump if you don't eat my T-bone steaks." And Wilma's like, My pet is dying, you asshole.
Yeah, right?
Sorry, I'm already on my second valley.
Everything's so wonderful here in Stone Age.
This is the 60s, so it's just wine.
It's both.
Don't they also make a joke about feeding their husbands schlump?
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, I should try to feed that to the men sometime." Ha 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 ha. She's like, "No, seriously, my pet's dying. This isn't funny. Betty, please, you're too high." So after she determines that, man, this could be something serious for Dino, we need to get Fred. We need to call in the Fred. She gets on the phone. Fred's at his job, you know, construction work where he moves boulders around.
He works in a quarry.
He has a driver's license.
He drives.
Oh yeah, women weren't allowed to have those back then.
Oh, I didn't.
Is that true?
No, Bob. It's just a general joke about the patriarchy.
I heard the vacuous sound of a poor history education fill this call.
I mean, it was the Stone Age. How the fuck do any of us know?
Stone and he's also known as the 60s, yes.
Yes. No, she's like, hey, Fred, you need to come home. Why do I have to do that? I'm dying under this boulder that cavically fell on me. And she's like, Dino, you won't eat a schlump. He's like, oh, he won't eat a schlump. That's serious. And then Wilma makes a joke of, I thought you would take not eating food seriously. And he's like, okay, I'll come home.
And he's like, Wilma, you bitch, I'm crushed under a rock right now and you're calling me about stupid shit.
This rock, I'm going to call it marriage, Wilma. And then he borrows his boss's car and he's like, oh man, this car is real nice. Thank goodness the boss let me drive it. Oh, here's my house. And then he hits his brakes and the car flips upside down and he goes, oh, the brakes grab a little. I should tell the boss. And I'm like, does this whole bit exist for this one joke?
Yes.
Yeah.
This weird situation where you drove your boss's vehicle.
It was so weird.
I don't understand why you thought this.
I can't. Like, my only thought process of why this scene is like this, which doesn't make any more sense than just the way it is, but I had to think of something. Like, they wanted to do the car flipping over bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, somebody wanted that in. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't do it with Fred's car because his canopy is cloth and wood.
Right.
And that wouldn't hold up the stone or the wood body and all the stone bits in his car.
Yeah.
That would make absolutely zero sense.
We can't
so they
that.
Needed another car with a sturdier canopy.
Yes.
So they invented his boss loaning him his boss's car, which made the whole scene make complete sense.
Yes.
I'm just like, why would they concern themselves with the canopy wouldn't be able to hold it? Like,
this cartoon. This was the Wild West of West of TV. Nobody gave a shit.
I'm sorry, but this was an airtight plot.
So he comes in and he's like, oh man, Dino, this is real serious. Okay, I'll take him. He hasn't lost any weight yet, he says, lifting up Dino, and then he goes, okay, well, I'll take him over to the VET. And Dino goes, yipe, and just runs away, dragging him off. And I'm like, yeah, I bet that dinosaur is a lot stronger than Fred. I think he's going to die now. They go off camera, and then Fred comes back in, and Dino's passed out immediately. I'm like, man, he had like 15 feet of energy in him, and then he's just out.
Yep.
That's fair. He takes him over to the vet, and then this is the shenanigans for this episode begin. He holds Dino still while he gets an x-ray. The x-ray shows that he has dinopeptide. Is that right?
Dinopeptide.
It is a dinopeptic germ.
Yes. So he has a dinopeptic germ, which shows up perfectly on the x-ray. You know, Dino's ribs being very Dino-like. Remember that?
Yep.
He explains, oh yeah, all Dino has to do to get better is sleep. And then Fred goes, oh, Dino knew what was best the whole time, and we're just sitting here freaking out. Okay, buddy, let's go. And he tries to leave, and then the vet gives the x-ray to the receptionist. The receptionist is dumb, and she's like, okay, let me write Fred Flintstone on this and walk away. And, oh, the x-ray flew out the window because it's paper now instead of rock, which is what it would be in any other episode for the fucking bit.
Oh, yeah!
I'm glad someone else wanted to say it.
Look, I didn't X-rays even realize.
They're not. I think they have other episodes where they do an x-ray and it's a sketch.
I'm fairly certain.
So a cop picks up the paper x-ray that floats out the window.
The idea that the first place it lands while flying through the air is a cop's hand.
Even more absurd is he's like, oh, this is Fred Flintstone's x-ray. I better take it to the lab. So he goes to the cop lab, and the people in the lab go, oh, this Fred Flintstone guy has a dinopeptic germ. Oh, that's terrible. If it was inside of a dinosaur, it'd be fine. But inside of a person, ooh.
I like the idea of the receptionist, like, all right, his full name and his address.
Yeah, that was, she did write his address. That is really...
That's insane.
It's like, you're going to mail it, but then you got ADD.
The level of compounding contrivances that have to happen for this episode to work at all. It's like, people say their TV has contrivances now. Nah.
And as Mr. Field says this, we move on to, so the guy from the lab at the police department goes and sneaks into the back of Fred Flintstone's house to talk to his wife to explain that he has this dinopeptic germ, and if he falls asleep, he's going to die, so they have to keep him awake for 72 hours.
He's like, I had to make sure to talk to you and not him.
Yeah, he cannot Dan. Know.
Yeah, he's not allowed to know. Dan?
Yeah.
Do you have a dinopeptic germ?
Why do you ask?
Bob sneaks into the back. He's like, Tosh, Dan has to stream all three Dark Souls games in one sitting or he'll die.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, that feels a lot like the skates scene later in this.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, you know, police be sneaking up backside Fred Flintstone's house to talk to his wife. And, you know, he explains to you guys, yeah, it's real bad. Anyways, here's the x-ray. Good luck with your husband. He's probably going to die. Keep him awake. Anyway, goodbye. And then Wilma's like, oh, I got to talk to Betty and explain to her. Betty's like, oh, okay. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. I don't understand science either. That's terrible.
I can't look at this x-ray and see that it's a dinosaur.
A fucking dinosaur.
All I see is there's a little dude inside those bones.
Fred, man, ribs is ribs, all right?
Fred, what a strong tail you have. You can see it behind the ribs. Somehow you can't see Fred behind the ribs. He must have been wearing his lead loincloth or whatever. Who knows?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I don't know what that beam was. It wasn't an x-ray. It was a visible beam.
Yeah.
Made a full color photo of just a rib cage and this one parasite. Dino got momentarily high while it was being emitted.
That was pretty good too. That was like second place animation for me in this episode of Dino's eyes lighting up and him going wom wom wom. He got a bit hypnotoady.
Yes.
That's. So Betty's like, okay, we'll do it. I'll get Barn to help as soon as he gets home, and then they have a giant thing of ribs. And Barnes like, oh, this was perfect, Betty. I'm going to go to sleep. Betty's like, no! He's like, why? Because Fred's going to fucking die. And he's like, oh, what? What? And she's like, okay, I'll explain. And she explains briefly. And he goes, oh. And then they fade to black for commercial. And then they come back and she goes, and now I've explained it. I'm like, you did that before the commercial break. But they repeat some of the information for the audience. And then they go, okay, well, we got to keep Fred awake. We cut to the Flintstone residence where Fred's like, oh, I got crushed by a rock and worried about my dog today. It's been a long day. I'm take a hot bath, a hot shower, and go to sleep. And he's got his loafers on and whatever, and he's just ready. He's just ready to go to sleep. Wilma's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I was taking a nap. Did they pass a law against that? And then he clenches his fist, but you can't see it. It's off camera.
Oh.
Then we mysteriously cut away and cut back, and everything's fine.
And everything's fine. Don't ask.
Wilma covers up more after this scene.
It's very strange. She's wearing a big hat.
That covers one of the eyes.
So she's like, yeah, we're going to go out on the town. I promised Betty we would do that. And then he's like, that's funny. Barnes said he was tired. And then we cut to the door where Barney is in a suit just doing a tap dance. And Fred just gets violent. Immediately, 0 to 60, he's just like, I'm gonna kill you, Barney Rubble, you sleepy son of a bitch. Don't you lie.
I wanted to go bowling, but you were too tired, but now we want to have to go dancing.
I hate you. You betrayed me. But, you know, he doesn't kill Barney. And then they have to go do shenanigans. And I'm gonna be honest, audience, this is where the rest of the episode becomes the same thing as the ending bit as the Honeymooners, where they do the same joke 17 times.
The same joke 17 times for 10 fucking minutes. 12 minutes.
Who can honestly say what happened and in what order?
This isn't fair. This is like if you found something exactly like Sliders in every single way.
They go to one club. Fred is tired and they make him drink coffee. They go to another club. Fred is tired and they make him drink coffee. They go to a third club. Fred is tired and they make him drink coffee. Then they go skating.
Yeah. And they sneak the skates on him, and he's just like, this isn't home. These aren't my sleepers. How did I get here? And
he's like, I'm going home. And Barney's like, I took the gas out of his car.
Yeah, that was hilarious. He's like, that's it. I've had enough of this. I'm going home. And Barney's like, I siphoned the gas out of his car.
I drank all of it.
I didn't realize they used gas.
I know.
Oh, yeah. That they make gas station jokes all the time.
Oh my god!
All right. Yeah, I'm trying to remember if it's an elephant that does the pumping. I don't know.
It might switch.
I clearly have not watched enough Flintstones. I need to educate myself.
Actually, maybe, just maybe you have. Who knows? Who knows if every episode is we will now make the same joke for 10 minutes straight. But there's a really good joke incoming. So they walk home. Fred's tired of the shit. He's like passing out while walking. And then he gets to his doorstep and he lights up like a fucking Christmas tree. And he starts running into his house. And they're like, Fred, you can't go to sleep. He keeps passing out. And they're like, I think it was Barney. Barney's like, I've got a plan. You ever watch A Clockwork Orange? So then he uses toothpicks to pry open Fred's eyes. It's such a terrifying image. I'm like, that should probably be in the thumbnail.
Oh, man.
Terrifying, absolutely terrifying image. And then his eyelids are so heavy, they snap the toothpicks in half and just launch it out. They go, okay, this is it. We can't even keep him up for a minute anymore. We got to tell him what's up. And they go, Fred, you're going to die of a dinopeptic germ. You have to stay awake. And he goes, what? I'm going to die. Bring me coffee. The coffee makes me strong.
He becomes Dan.
Yeah, I was like, I need to edit these to be monster energy drinks and just dump this over.
Yeah.
He keeps chugging the coffee. They're like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep the coffee going. There's no way his heart will just give up.
And then, that's a small price to pay for staving off the dinopeptic germ.
And then he goes, wait a minute. Dinopeptic germ? That's what Dino has. And then it's like, okay, episode right. Over. Thank you all for...
Yeah, he's like, whoa,
what doctor? Well, the doctor with your x-ray. Bitch, I didn't get an x-ray.
Yes!
Tell me the whole story.
I was surprised by
how... a cop snuck into your house.
And so a cop came up behind. Oh, yeah, that's normal. Okay, sure.
But yeah, like how competent Fred is in understanding the situation and like fully grasping it and be like, wait, this doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's only 30 seconds left in the episode, Bob.
Right. So he got the buff.
Right.
He receives enlightenment.
The touch of God on his brain to give him the ability to see through bullshit.
I'm now like, I have to watch other old shows, be like, were they all like this? Where it's just like, we have one idea.
Go.
We have two scenes. The first scene lasts 10 minutes, and the second scene also lasts 10 minutes. And they're both the same thing over and over for those 10 minutes.
Our idea can run its entire course in 180 seconds. This will be a full show.
See, the neat thing about the Flintstones over the Honeymooners is they can show multiple locations.
True.
Yeah.
We showed a waiting area that we didn't even talk about this joke. Fred was sitting on the tail of a saber-toothed tiger, I believe. The saber tooth lifts him up by his head and removes its tail. We got to see that. We got to see the vet's office. We got to see the road where a cop was.
We got to see Fred's job.
We got to see a lot of things. The Honeymooners, we got three shots.
We did. Three immaculate shots.
In my head, the Honeymooners takes place on like an action set for like a child's toy set from the 80s, and the lower part of the apartment is the TV studio.
Uh-huh.
Well, it has to be filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Yes.
Got to be able to move the chunks as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
God.
So that's really...
What a horrible idea.
It was cutting edge. Someday they'll be looking at the quality of Twitch streams nowadays and be like, God, what a horrible idea. Why would you use so few bits? I would simply stream 1 gigabit of video data. That'll definitely happen someday.
Hey, you know, this type of stuff is smart. Moving between sets, live studio audience. Sony did that for their last E3.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Oh.
And they're like, move on to our other set.
But yeah, that's basically it for the Flintstones episode, The X-Ray Story. So we've come to the important part that we do on every episode of the Honeymooners versus the Flintstones podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which one won out? Is it The X-Ray Story, the Flintstones episode, or is it Better Living Through TV, the Honeymooners episode? We're going to go ahead and start with Dr. Agro. Dr. Agro?
I mean, while the Honeymooners episode had a tremendously greater amount of illicit sexual tension, I really feel like the X-Ray Story is just a better executed episode of TV.
Mm. I see where you're coming from there. Absolutely. It's better executed. I think people can say that for sure. That is an objective fact. Is it as funny? I don't know, but it also implies less spousal abuse. So, you know, there are upsides and downsides. So, okay, that's going to be 1 point for the Flintstones from Dr. Agro. We now go to KZ.
I've been mulling it over all day.
And I know it's hard. It's serious stuff, yeah.
And I'm going to have to give my vote to the Flintstones. Mm. My reasoning being there are so many more locations on display. And they also didn't care if something did not make sense at all in its concepts, in its situations. Everything that starts from that vet office is bullshit. And that only improved my experience. I'm glad you also noticed that should have been on stone and not paper.
Yeah, no, it's absurd.
That's when it locked in where I'm like,
what?
Do they ever use paper in the Flintstones?
They should have had it on stone, and then some guy inexplicably walks up, picks it up, takes it outside, and goes, "This isn't mine," and puts it down on the sidewalk for the cop to find. We now go to Bob. Bob,
this is actually, they're very close.
I know.
Like, yeah, neither,
similar.
Neither is what I would call good TV. But I'm going to give the edge to the Flintstones because I enjoyed some of Fred's wanting to murder everyone.
Yes!
That came out during those sequences.
Mm.
Real life Fred was also pretty good with threats of don't talk about this or I'll hit you. But Fred's just so good.
So yeah, I'll give it the slight edge.
Okay.
It's very close though.
Which one of these two red circles drawn by an 8-year-old is better? Okay, we're gonna go to Mr. Feel. Feel.
The Flintstones episode had a lot of contrivances.
Mm-hmm.
The Honeymooners episode didn't give a shit and was just like, no, we'll just resolve this with jump cuts. So I have to give this to the Flintstones.
Okay.
We solved it with jump cuts.
I don't know. Yet again, I'm really torn here because while Better Living Through TV, the Honeymooners episode, does do the same joke for about 10 minutes there, I think the same joke is funnier in this than it is in the Flintstones episode. When I look at the Flintstones episode, I agree it is better executed, absolutely. But I think there are funny jokes in the Honeymooners, and it's hard to think of jokes that are quite as funny in the Flintstones. As I said before, my favorite scenes are of Dino melting in front of his food dish and his eyes lighting up like Hypnotoad. And neither of those are necessarily jokes as they are funny drawings.
Oh, yeah. If you stack them up gag for gag, the Honeymooners is going to take it with its dialogue every time.
Yeah.
Though I do like Fred wanting to kill Barney.
It's understandable. This dude is like, you're asking me to leave my house past 6 p.m. I'm going to end your life.
Yes. That's how I feel.
That is a timeless thing.
There's something really funny about that, but I'm deeply mortified and interested in the Honeymooners. Maybe this is because of an upbringing of seeing too much of the Flintstones. I have seen this episode before at least 3 times, I am certain.
Oh my God.
I watched well on a Cartoon Network. I don't know what to tell you. There was an era on Cartoon Network. For the younger viewers out there, there was an era on Cartoon Network where they didn't have original programming yet.
I don't know how I always missed this. I only saw Scooby-Doo.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's that period where it was like a bunch of old stuff and they had like four shows.
It's really funny because you're like, I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo, and I'm like, but you came out of that being like, I love Scooby-Doo. I love when they try new Scooby-Doo. And I came out of the Flintstones going, it's the Flintstones.
Well, this isn't fair. Scooby-Doo is a perfect piece of media.
Here's my thought, okay? Here's what would change my opinion, because I'm gonna give one vote to the Honeymooners.
Okay.
Here's what would do it, I guarantee. Because there's a real missed opportunity. As I said, one of the most impactful drawings of Fred in the whole episode is his eyes being held open with the toothpicks. If they gave Fred, on an animation level, the energy Jackie Gleason has, if they gave him the performance and the funny drawings that Dino has more consistently, the Flintstones would have been the funniest show ever made, probably.
Look, Dan, that unfortunately goes against everything Hanna-Barbera stands for.
Yes, it does.
Also, I feel like maybe if I watched, let's say, all of the rest of the Honeymooners, it would be more fair to the Flintstones.
Yes.
Because I was reading through the descriptions. I did a lot of research. It sounds easy, right? Oh, Dan just picked the most highest rated. No, it wasn't easy. I dug through seasons and seasons of episodes going, this is the new highest. This is the new highest. This is the new highest. Oh, these are all holiday episodes. Do it again. When you look at the ratings on Better Living, on Honeymooners, right? On average, they have much higher ratings, which is bizarre. The Flintstones slums it up with sevens and sixes a lot of the time. It's very, very bizarre. But as I'm doing this, as I'm digging through these episodes, I'm like, oh my God, I think I have literally seen every episode of the Flintstones at least two times.
That's fucked, man.
I did not see one episode where I didn't know how it went. I realized. I was like reading the text and I'm like, I know that one. I know that one.
You're so cultured.
Yeah, that's what that is. So, maybe I'd give it to the Flintstones, a little bit more powerful animation. I think one of the interesting things with the Honeymooners is I think that's a better live action Flintstones than the Flintstones live action movie, probably.
I disagree. That thing's a masterpiece. That's why they made another.
I need to watch it again. I remember it being neat.
But maybe I'll just have to watch it again.
they made a Honeymooners movie. In like 2005.
What? Yeah, they made a Honeymooners.
What?
No, they made a Honeymooners.
I'm sorry, they made a movie called The Honeymooners.
Yeah, let me clarify for Agra. They made a movie called The Honeymooners. It's now a black comedy based on everything that
Cedric
came up.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah,
okay.
Cedric the Entertainer. Okay. Yeah.
I was about to say, if you want to say that, it's like, yes, they also made Gem and the Holograms.
It was really fucking funny because, like, when I'm trying to search up information about the Honeymooners, it kept trying to throw that in my face. And it's like, yeah, this guy's played by Jackie Gleason or Cedric the Entertainer. Like, it was very funny how much confused information Google just turned
your brain
up and spit in my face like a baby.
I'm now tempted to watch this because this has a 13 on Rotten Tomatoes, and I have to know if that's real or if everybody's just racist.
I feel like
add to a themed list.
So here's
because Roger Ebert gave it a 3 out of 4.
If only that
intriguing.
Meant something. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like that's absolutely, like, I could see that movie being that terrible just because it's called The Honeymooners. It doesn't take place in the past. It's not the same characters as far as I know.
It is the same characters.
Is it?
Cedric the Entertainer plays Ralph Cramden.
Okay.
Huh.
It's just such a bizarre thing.
It looks like they're
just
updating the show and doing the same dynamic.
It's 50 years later.
I'm curious.
That seems so bizarre. Could you imagine?
I mean, the Addams Family movie worked.
Yeah,
it did. A lot of those old show movies from the 90s and early aughts worked for kid me. I don't know if they work for adult me.
Yeah, if you want to talk about it, I've had some deep, dark baggage I've been carrying through this entire podcast network I've never said once out loud. Kid me is always trying to convince me through the magic of memories that the Brady Bunch movie was good. I don't know if I trust him.
I remember liking the McHale's Navy movie.
I remember that too.
I liked the Dennis the Menace movie.
That was gold because I had that one actor.
You should bring in the Brady Bunch movie for Bless Blonde Blob.
Oh, absolutely not. Kid should not be trusted with that sort of firepower.
Your kid version thought it was good, so it puts it into the list.
I don't know.
Every now and then, I think I made up the Beverly Hillbillies remake movie.
Oh, if only.
No, you didn't.
If only.
Damn.
Can you, though? Is there, like, a spell? Are you a doctor like, you know, Doctor Strange?
You want me to cast a spell to make it to where I'm the only one who remembers the... Fuck you. Don't you put that evil on me.